In such moment, you work with the present and not the representation. In analysis, we work all the time with representation. The transference is a representation. The contra-transference is a representation. It's related to our past. When such thing happens, it's not important if the patient goes over the Oedipus or no, if he has a good mama or a bad mama. In this moment, and I can say to the patient, wow, such we are going over something like that, both together. Try to talk. I will talk and you will talk. And we'll see what is coming up from that.
Welcome to the IPA podcast, Psychoanalysis on and Off the Couch. This podcast series introduces the many analysts around the world who, in addition to working in their consulting rooms on the couch, they also work outside their offices. They take their psychoanalytic skills and they bring them to many other venues. They bring them to hospitals, to refugee centers, to business leaders, to childcare clinics, to prisons, just to name a sampling of the many conversations we've had. We've also spoken with analysts again around the world about how they and their patients have been struggling with the COVID crisis. And finally, we speak to a group of analysts who meet the criteria, shall we say, of being the elders of our field. They have been practicing analysis for 40 and 50 years, and have special perspectives on this particular period of history and an overview on what the field has been like and how it's evolved over the past half century. I hope you find these conversations engaging and thought-provoking. Please feel free to write comments at our website, ipaoffthecouch.org, and thank you for listening. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Harvey Schwartz, and my guest today is Dr. Yolanda Campel. Throughout her long career, Dr. Campel has focused her attention on the role of external trauma on our intrapsychic lives. She has studied victims of torture in South America. She has worked with Holocaust survivors and their descendants. As all Israelis, she has been on the receiving end of bombs from various sources, and she has studied its impact not only on herself and on her patients, but on the analytic process. In addition to this, she has also worked for 30 years with Palestinian psychologist colleagues in programs she has set up in Gaza itself. And we discuss all this on today's conversation. Dr. Campel is a training analyst and a past president of the Israeli Psychoanalytic Society. She is a professor on the Faculty of Social Sciences in the Department of Psychology at Sackler Medical School in Tel Aviv. She is an invited professor at the Sorbonne. She won the Hyman International Prize for published works pertaining to traumatized children and adults. And in 2005, she was the recipient of the Sigourney Award. Towards the end of our conversation, when I ask her about her personal story, she tells about her family's journey from Lithuania to Argentina and now to Israel. And as far as her recent past, she recommends for those who are interested to read a paper that is included in the show notes about her passions. And that's what is written in the paper. And she describes two passions. One is for psychoanalysis and one is for Israel. I hope you find this conversation as meaningful as I do. Here is my talk with Dr. Yolanda Campel. Yolanda, for the past COVID year that we've all been living under, many analysts have been discussing what it's like to share danger with our patients. We all are liable to be ill, and that was a new experience. And yet I'm confident that while there are similarities between that situation and your situation in Israel, it's clear to me that the differences far outweigh the similarities. You have shared danger in a quite literal, powerful sense. You have been living during the last hostilities with the threat of bombs falling on you, on your patients, before, during, and after sessions. And this is part of a long career's worth of efforts you've had to study the impact of external factors on the analytic situation, bombs being obviously the most dramatic example. But you've also studied the power of collective allegiances and historical memories and how all these, what some call large group forces, have impacted on the clinical encounter. So today, I'm going to invite you to share with us what your experience has been during the past hostilities and to bring forward some disguised clinical examples that you've been through. And from there, also for us to talk about your work in Gaza proper. You and others have spent 30 years working in Gaza with colleagues, teaching and doing supervision. And we're going to discuss that. And finally, we're going to talk about your own personal history and what brings you to this particular crossroads. But I do want to begin by saying something that you had told me, and that you said that no one not living here can understand what it's like to be living here with bombs falling. And maybe that's a good place to start. Can you tell us about what it was like during May when bombs were falling everywhere?
Thank you very much, Harvey, for inviting me. And I think that I will try to be correctly brief to can give an exposition of my emotional experience and my professional experience living in Israel. The first question that you asked, I hope so, from the Kodiv. We don't know if it's true and it will hold for a long time. And you ask me, like a person that lived in Israel for 6 years, and that has worked during 40 years with survivors and child survivors here in Israel, also in psychoanalysis, in psychotherapy, in groups, and in a very big research that I have done. And when all the situation of the Antifada in 1989 began, I dedicate myself to work with the Palestinians. Working with the child survivors and survivors, I have worked a lot. I was invited a lot to Germany, especially in universities, that students, also Jews and also Germans, I begin to make doctoral thesis about the Holocaust. And in one of the universities in Vienna, they invite me to help them to make a group and talk with all the students, Jews and Germans, about the situation. Because the situation was so emotionally charged, because they were all grandchildren or of the perpetrators or of the Jews. And it was very, very difficult to hold on and continue to teaching and to touch all these documents that were open. What I have learned from them is that the grandchildren are asking the grandfathers, why you accepted to do and don't help the Jews? It was a lot of German kids, the student that asked that. So when the Antifada began and I didn't like from my position what happens here, I decided that I now begin to work in this situation with my colleagues in Palestine, with my Arab colleagues in Israel. And when my grandson will ask me, "Grandmama, what you have done when all this situation happened in Israel," I will tell him what I has done. And then we begin to, and I think that I was not the only that think like that. We begin to work together, Palestinians, Arabs, and Israelis, in an organization that we call the Mood, to see how we can progress and help each other in the question of mental health and the necessity of a lot of workers in mental health in Gaza and other cities. And we make a big program, a very interesting program. And I was related especially in how to work clinically with children and adults in Gaza. That was my dedication at that time. And I can say that the suffering or the what happens what's happened in situation of social political violence is not the same quality, the same characteristics what's happened in the pandemic. The pandemic.
You're saying it's not the same.
Yes, it's not the same. It's very different.
Right.
The pandemic is something that we don't know the origins. We have a lot of hypotheses, mm-hmm. but is something that happens to the to all the world, expanded to all the world, as is not related almost what's happened to social political violence. It becomes after political violence also, how each country treats the theme of pandemia. But when we talk about the Shoah or we talk about the war, we are talking from people, human beings that do horrible things to other human beings. And it's not the same reaction. We are in two different logics, in two different geographic. It's like we are in two different spaces and times. And we can't compare that. We can use our experience, but there is no something that is like that. There are two different things, and we have to refer to them in the present of the present and in the situation that is what is nature, what is culture, what is context, and what is internal life and psychic life. And things that happens in the external world comes from different ways.
Can you share with us who have not experienced it? And obviously we can't duplicate the experience, but can you give us some sense of what it was like in the recent hostilities for you, your family, your patients, the conditions under which you were living? The external and the internal conditions that you were living under.
I can't say personally, but I that things that we have spoken between colleagues, we have for 10 years. We have a group that we call "A Wall Comes Down" in our psychoanalytic society, that meets once a month to talk how to face and how to respond and how to work when something in the external reality that is related to political aggression to comes out, how we deal and how we treat this situation in our hour of in our work, in the clinical work, because it is a moment when a bomb. It was years that there were the attacks, bombs of people that suicide bombs. And you were in working with a patient, and that happens in your street. The bomb fall in Tel Aviv in one street, and you sit and you are talking in the most intimate situation. You and your patient, four walls are closed. You are only with him in his life, in his subjective world. Also, his intersubjective world, and then you can continue to work. You are the Christ. You are the bomb. You open the window, and you and your patient are together in the same world, in an overlapping world. You have the same, you are afraid, like the patient is afraid, or never mind. And a wall of the four walls of the clinic fall down. The question is how you, in this clinical situation, take over all that and little by little construct another time the fourth wall. But the question is in each situation, what you as analyst and the patient that are in a very symmetrical situation. You are in the same city, in the same world. The bomb affect you as human being like affect your patient. How
right.
You react? What are you saying? How you reconstruct the clinical situation and you treat the overlapping worlds.
Can you share some disguised clinical experiences that will bring this even more to our listeners' appreciation?
In this moment, I will tell something that when we begin to make this this forum of the falling world. In our society, in the
let me just understand it to be clear. There's a group of you in the Israeli psychoanalytic that belong to call it a study group called a wall fall.
This is a group that I have created in the psychoanalytics to talk between us of this problem, and we have decided in the first when we begin that we will only invite. Training analyst or analyst and not analyst and candidates because we saw that we have to bring clinical material and maybe a candidate that is in analysis for some analyst will be there and the analyst also, no question. So we made the group only for the seniors. For the seniors.
And so that they can feel free to speak.
Yes, and if it was somebody that was in analysis at that moment that is also a senior with an analyst, so the analyst give up and let the patient to come. Mm-hmm. So the first one, so during 10 years that we meet once a month, it was not one time that we have not something that occurred in the external world and was affected the psychoanalytical work, the clinical work. In 10 years, it was not one meeting that nobody has to tell and ask something. You can understand what is the situation in Israel.
Can you give an example of what kind of external influences you're referring
to? For example, SCAT comes since the 90s. We have SCAT from time to time. All the time, I have written the history of all the occasions. There was terrorist bombing, there was cuts, there was war in the north, there was war in the south. All time it was something that was taking place and affecting our work, even in Tel Aviv. At that time, it was 2 weeks, I think it was 10 years ago, that from Gaza, they attacked with Scuds to Tel Aviv. And the Scuds come to Tel Aviv for the first time. And one of the analysts that were present told that he was in the middle of the night in his bed, and the Scud fall not far from his house in Tel Aviv. It was nothing happens, but all the windows of his apartment fall down, and he sit with his pajama in the bed alone, and he can't come down because all his he have no shoes, he have nothing, and all the windows fall down, and in this moment he remembered that when he was in analysis with the analyst that is sitting in the group now, he's a training analyst, in the 90s, it was the war, if you remember, in the Suez Canal, etc.
Sure.
You remember? So he's... The one of the bombs fall in the one of the bombs at that time fall in the clinic, in the his analyst clinic, and destroyed the clinic. So nothing happens to the analyst and to the family, but he has to organize herself and reconstruct his clinic until she could continue to work. And he was very, he was a candidate and a young analyst, and he wanted very much to talk to his analyst and ask him how he is and if he can help in something, but he didn't dare, like a candidate, he didn't dare to do that. And when he began another time to come to her, so what, he asked her, what is your advice when such things happens, how I can defend myself? And the analyst said, always go to sleep with shoes.
That's one of those precious analytic insights that is only derives from a setting like you're describing. Always go to sleep with shoes on. Right?
You see, and at the moment that he's sitting in his bed and he can't, with all the windows that fall down, he remembered that and he tell that, and the analyst said, I have said that, I don't remember. You see, it happens a lot of things that in a very intuitive and correct form, analysts react. And from then, he could begin to lie on the couch and sees that his analyst give him something to save himself.
Well, that's my understanding of your work, and tell me if I have this correctly, that how does one clinically deal with such an overabundance of external inputs and traumas and dangers, real life? And do I have this right that you say you discuss it, you chat, you talk, you converse, not as analyst, but as two people afraid and suffering and trying to live as best one can in this moment? And after doing that, and maybe as a result of doing that, that then allows you to set the stage for the analytic asymmetry and regression so that the internal life can have a place to emerge. Do I have that right?
If you permit me, I will say that there are certain topics when are named in a session become evaluated by all analysts in the world. When I was very young and sent papers to the International Journal, I received that I am an excellent clinician, but I talk too much about the external world, and that's not for the international. I have these letters. One day I will publish all these letters and all the papers that they have not published. And now this year they have published a paper that they say no because of that in the international. So there are things in the session that if you name it, they are devaluated. The burst into the intimacy of the inner world, the classical theory, and the analyst suddenly loses his quality of subject-object at the patient's inner world. You are both subjects. You understand? And the analyst and the patient becomes a subject of social world, placed in a symmetrical position with the patient. Two subjects talking and thinking together. You see, that is the point. The analyst is not only an interpreter, but simultaneously offers he can offer the possibility to think together. You see? But yes. You, what works through with Jeanine Puget together, is that not only the wall fall down because of the war, because of the pandemia, etc., we have to let fall down a lot of walls in the articulation of our psychoanalytical knowledge that are very important, but now we have to use other things.
And what is it, how would you describe what it is we then use?
Think a little bit, what is forbidden about this and why? And why are certain topics not included as psychoanalytical material? If you look, what is clinical material? And when you look about the writings about clinical material, what they use and why there are a lot of things that related to reality they don't use in the material for analysis. It is possible to speak about public events in a session that's breaking the intimate climate of relationship between analyst and patient. A patient can come. I have an article, and I will read only two or three examples that I have written the day when Trump came. Became president. I think that in all my years in analysis, even if there were a lot of things that happens in Israel, the only day that all patients during all the week talk is when Trump became president. Interesting. Israeli people, not so. And what I responded, and I talked to of that, I didn't make and put it aside. I put it and make enter like something that happens and preoccupied and related to what happens from to each one. So we have to underline the difference between not talk about seeing something because it's excluded by our theories or because it exceeds the reference frame. You understand this little difference?
Yes. It's an important difference. Let me ask you about that frame. You've made clear in things you've written that you never bring your personal view of these external realities into the office. Did I read that correctly?
You know, in such moment, you work with the present and not the representation. In analysis, we work all the time with representation. The transference is a representation. The contra-transference is a representation. It's related to our past. When such thing happens, it's not important if the patient goes over the Oedipus or no, if he has a good mama or a bad mama. In okay. This moment, and I can say to the patient, wow, such we are going over something like that, both together. Try to talk. I will talk and you will talk. And we'll see what is coming up from that. I don't begin to say what I feel and I don't feel. If he will ask, I will see. I was very afraid and I am very sad about that. And I was thinking at the same moment that you are, and I feel responsibly as an adult for you, and we can talk about that.
That makes it very clear. Helpful. Thank you. You bring your presence in relation to the moment. In the
to the moment, to the present.
Yeah.
Because each thing will evoke some previous experience or some pre-existent sure. scars. That is the correspond to the classical theory, which of course is very important. But since it avoids the sufferance concerning the danger of surprise and then acts as a production, it could also be a difficult or an obstacle. It's something new that happens and you have to deal with the new. It is possible to analyze this situation using the rich theory concerning the identification. We can go to identification, and I remember that your papa was in the camps, and maybe that's... No, that is this moment. So there are two logics. The logic of association, so the associative logic that we use in analysis, the pre-existent scars, the previous experience, and there is another logic, the logic of the event that is totally new, alien, and will require hosting the alien. You have to host the alien, the unknown.
You have to host the alien of the
yes,
new moment.
Yes. The unknown that will open an uncertain world is uncertainty. What that concerns with conflicts raised by the intrusion of otherness. This is a very evil otherness that's entering between us, and it's new for us. We never have it with this patient in this moment. This is very disturbing and obliges the subject to accept the life as always there are not predictions and there is very unpleasant. So we have to deal with the difference that we have between the common and what separates.
What separates the common from the unique moment?
Yes,
now,
yes. Yeah. What separates the singularity of each of us and the aggression of the social political world? So the first, you see, that first we work all the time in the classical analysis in a binary organization. And the other, working in the present of the present, we are working with multiplicity and complexity.
You mentioned Trump, and we in the States have a great deal of experience in the office about how one struggles with that.
I will read you some examples, if you permit me.
Allow me just to, I don't want to let your point about Trump go, because you said it was a major event in your clinical world with patients.
And it was a major event in the world.
Yes.
And I think that because I during this work, I have telephones of colleagues in Paris and colleagues in America. Yolanda, you are, and you know the external world, and how you work with that. What I do with Trump in the clinic?
And how did you answer it?
I say, tell me what the patient said, and we'll work it through.
Yeah.
I don't have rules.
Yeah, I understand.
I see the complexity, the difference, the uncertainty, and I put it on the table.
But you're the person, apparently, your friends and colleagues from around the world call when they're struggling with the presence of external events impinging, influencing, making their presence known in the clinical situation. Yolanda's the one who gets the call.
You know, I work with all that for more than 30, 40 years,
yeah,
with all the concept. Not only me, my very dear friend that died this year, Janine Puget, and Tilling, we also, with the last years, come together with us. I am a very kind and sympathetic person, and people relate to me. When I bring all the concept of radioactive nucleus and radioactive intergenerational that didn't find, all the people make a surreal, make a, let's say, okay, Yolanda, she has these ideas. And in Paris especially, I work a lot in Paris. I was professor in the Sorbonne University, and I was very related with all the three societies there. And they hear, but they don't hear. When the towers fall, it was the first time at that time that I have calls of my colleagues in Paris and say, Yolanda, what I am doing with that? What you are doing when they talk only about the towers fall and they are very afraid that in Paris we have in the sepsis?
But you also said, Yolanda, that you now require bodyguards when you go to teach at the Sorbonne.
When it was, you know, it were very difficult situations there. And there are a lot of psychologists and psychoanalysts from Arab countries. And they are very sympathetic, and I work together a lot of times with them. But the people in the Jewish people that was in this society were very afraid, because they asked me how I talk about all these things coming from Israel. I have not right. I am a killer. I do to the Arabs that. And I say, first of all, I am a psychoanalyst. And I'm ready to work with you and that you come here to think what we do with all these terrible things when we work with a patient. We begin to discuss politics. We are from the right side to the left wing. Or we see what happens to me, to you, and to others. If you want, I am not a politician. I am only a psychoanalyst that I am proposing a way to thinking together.
And is that heard?
Yes, 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 it was heard. I have a lot of colleagues that make their appreciation of that and talk about that.
Yolanda, I do want to talk about your personal history, but it sounds like there's something more that you want to share before we get to that.
What you want about my...
Well, I mean, you have a journey. You're not Israeli born. Tell us about, A, where you come from, and also, like you said, people call Yolanda, and yes, it's because there's an easy graciousness to you. There's an availability that makes it easy to speak with you. But there's more than just that puts you at this place where you are, again, along with others, you are the center of trying to make sense of how we live in this real world and how we honor our internal world at the same time. That's a very special place. And not many analysts of any stripe walk that line as thoughtfully and as honestly as you do. So can you tell us a little about your past?
I have a long article that came out this year in Inquiry in English about my wounded passion to be in Israel and to be an analyst. And in this chapter, I'll tell my story.
And having read the article, I do recommend it. It will be in the show notes. But can you give us a taste of it, please?
So, because I am asking another time. You see, when I come, my father and mother come to Argentina from Lithuania. My father came in 1934. He was from a very, very religious family, 34 or 35. He came from a very religious family. He has 8 brothers and 2 sisters. And all the brothers were very, very learning people, learning Jewish religion. One of his brothers became a rabbi, and he was the only that don't like to learn. So they don't insisted, but the family have decided that he will be a very good in commerce, in dealing and having money. So they send him, he was 20 years old, they send him to Buenos Aires in these years. They send him that he make money, because in Buenos Aires they know they make very much money. And the most important thing is, first of all, to bring the 2 sisters, because they feel at this year that antisemitism is very hard, and they were very afraid about the 2 sisters, that they don't attack, etc., etc. And after, he will bring all the family. So this young man took on his arms to save all the family. So he couldn't come to Argentina because he have not permit. He come to Paraguay, and then it's a long adventure until he come to Buenos Aires. And like you can imagine, it was very far. He was not a businessman, nothing of that. On the contrary, a disaster as a businessman. And he began to work, he terrible to have money. And he could bring one of the sisters that was a very, very nice girl to Buenos Aires. And for him, it was terrible because he had to take care. He don't the language, etc., etc. It was all a story of Jews that they want to save, and they send a sheliach. And my mother comes from another religious family also in Lithuania. And 36, My grandfather, a very religious man, a teacher, he sit down and he put the tefillin in his hand. And my mother, that was the last that stay house and was not married at that time, and the mother wait that the father finish to make his prayer and wait to eat. He says, wait a moment. It's coming horrible, horrible times in this country. Jews will disappear. Please, he said to my mother, you are very intelligent. You are very bright. You try to take your mother and your sister with the three grandchildren from here. There is family in Buenos Aires. And you ask them to ask from you. And you get all out and leave the house and all what you have here. And at that moment, he had a heart attack and died.
Oh, my. Oh, my. What a story.
And my mother begin to make all the papers. All the papers and all the what he do. There were Jewish organizations that help. And she get, after 1 year and a half, the permit to take her mother, her sister, the three kids, and he. The sister of my mother, that is, was ultra-religious Orthodox, they say that Buenos Aires is not kosher and he will not grow his three boys in such a city and such a world. And the grandmama say, if she don't go with the kids, I stay with her. And they stay. But they say, you go to my mother. And then my mother and father meet, when I begin to make analysis, my three patients, because here in Israel you have to have three patients in analysis during a lot of time, 3, 4, 5 years until, were three second generation. And what happens with me in the contratransference, it was moment that I feel that the patient won't speak about a lot of things, but me either, I didn't want to know. And we were in a very big impasse. And I remember that I read the chapter of Rosenfeld about the impasse in psychosis, and there I said, I need to know about my grandfather, grandmother, all my uncles, and I need to know what happens with all people. My parents didn't speak about what happens. And I begin to say that I want to see the parents of my patients, but I don't get permission from the... and I was a candidate and I have to do what they ask me if I will become an analyst in the society. And I read a note in a newspaper in Israel that say all the children that were reunited in Warsaw after the war, and we stay in the same place, I ask from all the world to communicate with me and we'll make a meeting in Jerusalem. That was in 78, something like that, 79. I write to him a letter and I say that I am a psychologist at the university, he said to me, I don't like psychologists and psychoanalysts, and I don't like journalists. I will meet with all my friends alone. And after the meeting, you will come and you will make an interview, and I will decide if I give you addresses or not.
You know, what's so striking, Yolanda, about your story is that I think without intention, you are demonstrating the very themes of your work, which is the interdigitation of the internal and the external. Your story of the past, you talk about the countertransference, you talk about leaving Lithuania, you talk about people's images of Buenos Aires. It all comes together. And in that way, you've answered the question about how you are at this point in your life and in our profession's life, where you are the person that is always living, as you say, in two logics at the same time. Let me read what you wrote in one of your papers on the Mideast crisis, psychoanalytic explorations. You close by saying the following: "It is also very difficult for psychoanalysis, which relates so strongly to the internal world, to function in a context of violence and war. In these situations, it is most important to maintain contact with the harsh reality and also the ability to go on thinking. In war, the enemy's goal is to frighten and confuse, making it difficult for one to think clearly. In response, the individual must try to maintain his capacity to be aware of the reality, rather than to ignore it or run away from it. It is perhaps here that psychoanalysis can make its contribution."
I agree with what I have written.
You agree with what you wrote? not only agree with what you wrote, I do recommend reading your writings. Again, that will be listed with the recommended readings in the show notes. You bring a very special, fresh ear and eye to this situation. And we began by talking about what it's like for you and your patients under the threat of bombs. And there are more stories of for you and other Israeli analysts as well, who have described running together with their patients from the couch to the bomb shelter.
Yes.
And the bomb shelter may have family members in it as well. These are not circumstances that analysts elsewhere have had to struggle with. And your contributions are vital. The pleasure of meeting you and learning from you and getting a sense of your inner life has been a pleasure and a privilege for me. I really have learned a great deal. I hope those listening to this conversation not only appreciate what they've heard, but also are interested in learning more and will pick up on the things you've written. Yolanda, thank you so much. It's really been a privilege.
Thank you very much for the link that you have made with me, a very, very special link to search for other things in psychoanalysis and to try to promote and to bring to the others. Thank you very much, Arve.
My pleasure. Thank you for listening. If I may, I'd like to ask you to help us publicize our podcast by rating us on iTunes or simply sharing it with a friend. You can also visit our webpage, ipaoffthecouch.org, where you can both subscribe and also add your comments. I'd also like to acknowledge the lovely rendition of Beethoven's Opus 18th String Quartet by the Allegri String Quartet on the Vivat label.